Hey, what's up, everybody? Justin Ochoa back with another episode of the Gym Sessions Podcast. Today we have on Ty Harris from the Connecticut Sun of the WNBA, and we are talking about all things basketball. We talk about her recruiting from high school, how she ended up at South Carolina, funny stories about Dawn Staley in South Carolina, talk about her WNBA draft experience, her WNBA career, and all the things that she's working on to just get better as a player on and off the court. So make sure you tune into this one. It's a great conversation with Ty. Hope you guys enjoy. Ty Harris, welcome to the show. Appreciate you joining me.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we missed you on season one, so we had to run it back, get you on season two. A lot has happened since then. We've started the WNBA season, finished up your overseas season. How have you been since leaving Indy and starting up year four? Is this year four for you or year three?
Yeah, four.
It's crazy.
Right? It goes fast.
You're getting old on me.
Nah, I'm still in my rookie contract, so we're still young.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's how athletes are measured. I'm either on my rookie contract or my second, third, or fourth deal.
Nah, but I've been good. I mean, I don't know. When's the last time I saw you or last time I've been in Indy, honestly?
Probably
like a couple months.
Probably when we shot my Under Armour commercial that I let you be a part of.
your 2 second clip. Were you even in or was it just your voice?
Not just the voice. Oh, you hear me in the background. I was like, yeah, good job. Good work.
Man got a full get up, Under Armour clothes, everything just for a voiceover.
Oh my goodness. Hey, it's all good. You already got me crying. we're 2 minutes into the episode.
No, we gotta save some. We gotta save. Nah, but I've been good. I mean, I've been training, working out, just trying to figure out everything because it is a new team. I was on Dallas for 3 years before, and then Connecticut, new place, new team, new coaching staff, a new system, and kind of just figuring out with them. I've been on FaceTime with Coach Steph, our head coach, and watching film with her before the even season and training camp even started, trying to get acclimated with her, trying to get familiar with her. And then training camp started, and it goes quick, literally so quick.
It's crazy. I'm not sure when this is going to drop, but we're recording this, whatever today is, like the 28th of August, I think. And we got, what, like a month left of the regular season, if that, and then playoffs?
I think we got like four more games left and then playoffs.
That's crazy. So let's jump into your basketball journey. Obviously, I know you really well, but some of the listeners might not know you or be familiar with you. And I like your journey because we've talked about this in the past. Like, it's not like you had, all the clout growing up or, you didn't have mixtapes when you were in fourth grade, that type of stuff. You went to a small high school here. Talk about, just your youth development, like what went into you choosing a school like Heritage Christian and kind of like how you grew up playing.
So I started playing basketball when I was like four. I always been like shy to myself type of person until I get to know you and then my goofiness comes out. But I went to Heritage because one, Coach Steph was there and she was my AAU coach, and just how AAU was, I played for a small organization out of Indy. And like, I never played on the Nike EYBL or the Adidas Gauntlet when that was lit and stuff like that. It was always just like with them because they was like my second family. So I stayed with them and she was an assistant coach at Heritage. So I was like, it was a no-brainer for me. And I just don't like the public schools. You know how that be, a little political over there. So I went there for 4 years, loved it. I mean, we had a great career. We had, I think, like our starting five plus one, like at least six or seven of us went to college basketball. Not everybody finished, but at least everybody got the chance to go D1. So that was pretty good. And I think our team was ranked like ninth at one point in high school.
Yeah, you guys nationally. Are crazy.
No. Crazy. So that was good. The journey was nice. But that kind of
ultimately.
You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, there you go. Like, led me to go to Heritage Christian. Even though it was like a private school and it was like predominantly Christian and like all that, I didn't even know. Like, when I walked through, like, had our classroom walks or whatever, they're like, oh, you have a theology class. And I'm like, what? Like, every day I had to go to theology and we had like mass every Wednesday or Thursday. So that was kind of like a shocker to me, but it was nice, something different. I like to try. I really don't like to try different things, but when it happened like that, it was nice, and it worked out really well for me.
Mm-hmm. Was that a situation where like you knew you didn't want to go to a public school and just was looking at different private schools, prep schools, charter schools, kind of like the off, the outside the box type stuff, and just landed on Heritage?
Honestly, no. Like, I don't even know how the discussion even started, or like, I know in eighth grade, we had like, you had to have like a high school tryout towards the end of the summer. And it was like tryout for HSC. And I just like didn't go, but my best friend went because she plays basketball too. And like everybody was asking her like, so where's Ty going? Like, and I didn't know, honestly. It was kind of like, I didn't really care too much about it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to hoop and I wanted to be on a good team. So when I figured out I was going to Heritage, everybody were a little salty and mad about that, but I didn't care for it.
You had a crazy career at Heritage. You guys won. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know all the accolades, but you guys won like multiple state championships. You were All-American multiple times. Miss Basketball candidate, I guess, which is crazy because I feel like any other year you would have won that. And I feel like just looking at who won Jackie Young your year, it's like, okay,
that's
much respect. Number one draft pick in the WNBA, went on to do great things in Notre Dame and beyond. So it's like, you can't really be too mad at that, but it's also like a big deal in Indiana to win or be considered for that award. Like what were some of your accomplishments coming out of high school that I missed? Like, we'll talk about the resume a little bit.
Yeah. I think, so we won three in a row. We run two of them in 2A, and then the last one was in 3A. And I wish if I had another year, that next year they went to 4A. Oh, God.
You would have won that.
We would have won the 4A, too.
Facts.
With my team that we had, we definitely would have won the 4A. But my freshman year, when we lost, we lost at semi-state. I forget the team. I think it was Modern Day, some team up in Evansville, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's who we ended up losing to, was semi-state. But other than that, we won it all. And like I said, we were ranked nationally ninth at one point. I think I hold a record for scoring at Heritage. I think I still do. And assists, I think, as well. And like you said, Miss Candidate for Miss Basketball. But guess what? They told me I was fourth runner-up, and I know that's cap. They had Jackie, who won it.
Yeah.
Lindsay Cassaro.
Okay.
Kristen Spoiler, and then me. That was my, like, that was our little rivalry right there. Which they were all really good. Like, we were, I ain't gonna hold you, that class right there was really good.
That's a fire class. That's a, I didn't know.
But you know.
Kristen went to Butler, right? I think I follow her on Instagram. We like randomly, you know, how you know somebody but don't really know somebody.
Right.
It's like the basketball community.
Right.
In a nutshell.
And then Lindsay Cassaro, she went to Ron Colley High School, and then she ended up going to UCLA for a little bit. And I don't know where else, but UCLA. But I mean, hey, that was a good group of girls right there.
I'm giving you the runner.
I'm mad at it.
I'm giving you the unofficial runner.
Appreciate you.
So let's talk about, obviously, you left high school. Just crazy resume. What was your recruitment like? Talk about your process. And, you know, obviously South Carolina is where you ultimately went, but where was like your top four kind of other schools you considered, and why did you choose SC?
Yeah. So, okay. Recruiting was a lot. I actually hated talking to coaches, and it's crazy because now I talk to, like, college coaches, and they say, like, the kids, that's all they want. Like, if you don't show them attention and love, then they're not going to go there. For me, it was opposite. Like, I wish they didn't call my phone. And my dad, you know how my dad is. I know Talia's going through it now. I'll be texting, like, I'm the mom and dad. Like, you better call these schools. But my dad, he made me, like, a spreadsheet of, like, schools and, like, what time to call everybody. And it was, like, cool, too, because, like, you know how you get them letters? Like, it was just letters, literally just the questionnaires. But, like, everybody had their own, like design to it and stuff. So I used to keep all the letters, and I had to, like, post it on my wall and stuff like that. And so calling was crazy. I had to have a spreadsheet. I had to have a routine. And then this was a time where, like, they would call me in school. Mm-hmm. And, like, when I'm working out and practice, like, it was getting OD. There was really no rules for real at this time. So, like, my dad helped me with that. And then I didn't know where I wanted to go. I was, like, one of the last people to commit because I just, like, I had no idea. I was a homebody. I didn't want to leave. And I ended up going to South Carolina, which is, like, 9 hours away, which was crazy to me.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, I don't want to go too far. I was leaning towards, like, Indiana or Purdue. Purdue was heavy because there's, like, kind of far but not too far.
Right.
And they were in the Big Ten, so that wasn't too bad. But my top four would have been, like, Michigan State. I liked who else I liked? I like Iowa because the coach – which is crazy now that we say, like, the talk about South Carolina, Iowa is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Indiana. Who else did I like? I liked Notre Dame until they, yeah, I liked Notre Dame. I think that's about it. It wasn't too many schools, but, like, honestly, South Carolina got my attention because when I went on a visit, it was just something, like, it just hit me. Like, it just felt like a family atmosphere. And then, like, Dawn, she was just so real, so cool. And Coach McCray, she was my recruiting person. So she kind of was like, you are a missing piece. Like, they had all the pieces to get there. I think they got to the Final Four 1 year and then Elite Eight another year. And she was basically just saying, like, I'm the missing piece to make it. And I committed there. It was kind of after finals, too. Like, we had finals in high school or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm about to go to South Carolina. Like, I'm over it. Like, I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of talking to coaches. I'm just going to commit. So, like, after finals, get done taking my test, I go in the comments area, and I'm like, hey, Coach Staley, like, I'm committing. And it was just like, that's it. She was like, oh, my gosh. Like, she was happy or whatever. And, like, after I hung up the phone, it was like, all right, well, time to go to the next class. Like,
yeah,
it was just
theology was like after some, this.
Right. Some random stuff, like nothing too crazy. But, yeah, that's how that went down.
So I know you got to have some funny Dawn Staley stories. Like, there's got to be at least one we can get the ball rolling with. Like, I guess I could give you like a, you know, a time frame, because I mean, you were here for 4 years. What was like the craziest thing within the first month or so on campus that happened where you're like, oh, shit, like Dawn Staley's my coach?
Yeah. So honestly, it never really hit me for real until like I talked to outside people who would be like, oh, you're going to South Carolina? Oh, you're playing for Dawn Staley? And I'm like, yeah, like what's the big deal? Like, why everybody freaked out about it? So geeked. And I was like, oh, I loved her, played to get, like, watched her play, coach, da 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 da. And I'm like, oh, she was nice like that. Like, I really did not really know for real until I got there how nice as a player, coach,
she was crazy.
Decorated woman she is. I'm like, this is crazy. So that kind of hit me. And then, like, just seeing how she built South Carolina. So, like, I used to be in her office sometimes, and we would just talk about the past. And she was saying, like, there was probably 500 people in the stands when she first got here. And she was with this X amount of people, and she only had this. And now to see, like, we're the number one attendance in the nation for, like, the last 6 years. And, like, seeing all the fans, the fan base, the people that come out just to see her, support her, is crazy.
Yeah.
The impact she has is crazy. So that was my big thing. But the funny thing, I mean, I could say we used to beef heavy.
Oh,
my
really?
Junior year, I think it was like in the sophomore, junior. Like, we beefed so heavy. She would tell anybody this too. Like, she used to have interviews and she used to tell people this. And I was like, I think it's because we were a Taurus. Like, we're both Tauruses. So we're both stubborn and we're both bullheaded and like already in our ways. Like, we rocked with each other so hard, but like, Taurus thing, we butted heads too. So I remember we was going to Thanksgiving tournament in St. Thomas, and like, we played Indiana, we lost, and we were like the number one recruited team, blah blah blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, we lost to Indiana. I'm like, how ironic that I lose to my home state team. Like, that happened, and I played bad too. So we go in the film, she's going in on us. She started with me going crazy on me. Like, I didn't even, she's like behind me. I didn't even turn around. Like, I'm just looking at the screen like, oh my goodness. Like, and she was telling, she's like, I knew I got through her when she didn't even look at me. Like, I knew that's when she's listening. And like, that's serious. Like, if I get to turn around and now we going back and forth, like, it's over with. But like, yeah. I was sitting there listening, taking it in, saying, she was saying like, the game we lost, it was your fault, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dang. All right. So we go to practice. Usually after practice, we have a meal. They have a meal for us. I see like the assistant staff people come in with like the meals and stuff like that. We get done with practice. It was a hard practice. Everybody's already in the mood. Like, we just got chewed out of them and stuff like that. Like, we're looking for our meals. The names on the sandwiches and meals are the staff and the coaches. We're like, where's ours? Don came through. Was like, y'all don't get no fucking food. Like, y'all don't deserve this. The way y'all was playing, y'all don't get to eat. I'm not feeding y'all, blah, blah, blah. We're all just like, what? Not you taking a meal from us. She didn't want us to get no smoothie, no sandwich, no nothing. Like, and then, like, the practice gym was, like, 45 minutes away from our hotel. Like, we're just mad, starving, while they just eating and chilling. That had to be the funniest thing ever, though.
That's good. That's good. But, I mean, from a coach's perspective, y'all probably played your ass off the next day. The next game, like,
went crazy.
Just dominated
that, everybody. And then we played Baylor and beat them, and then we won, like, the championship and all that.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. So you said, like, when they were recruiting you, they were saying you're the missing piece, right? And like that was true. Y'all came in, if I remember right, you won the national championship freshman year and started most of that year. Talk about like, what is it like, obviously, to win a national championship in college, doing it your freshman year, but then how does that like set up the rest of your career when you set the tone for that being the thing, the standard? Your freshman year.
Yeah. So actually, like, because after we won it, somebody tweeted, like, Ty has always been winning because we had won that 3 state championships up until that point. So it was crazy to see that. But, like, after, like, once you get to your senior and junior year, that's when you try to, like, get nationally known for college, of course. Mm-hmm. And to go back a little bit, like, there's this McDonald's All-American game and the Jordan Brand game, which is kind of like a, I guess, like, a benchmark to where you at in your career, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you try to use that as a measure, basically. A lot of people want that accolade. And so, like, I remember being at my sister's dance competition in Tennessee, and, like, the McDonald's All-American show was coming on to see, like, who been selected to play. And so I'm watching it, and my name didn't get called. So, like, now I'm like, whoa. Because at one point throughout high school, like, I was top 10 in high school. And then, like, once EYBO and all that extra stuff started playing into it, I dropped to, like, 25. Because I never played in EYBO. Like I said, like, I always played with the local AAU team. And then, like, my parents couldn't really afford to take me to camps and stuff like that to get exposure or pay for, like, highlight reels and stuff like that. So it kind of was kind of like, whoever comes see me, come see me type stuff. And so I didn't make McDonald's or I didn't make Jordan Brand. So, like, I was real mad. I actually was crying that night when I didn't see my name, because, like, that was, like, as a high schooler, that's what you look up forward to, right? So I didn't get that, and I was, like, dang, I was kind of just, like, not encouraged, kind of lost a little bit of my confidence. But my trainer, Derek, he was, like, this is when I started meeting him, too, and started working out with him. He was, like, just use this as fuel to your fire and rock out after that. So, like, just worked out after that, and then USA came around, and I made a USA team. And most of the people on the USA team are McDonald's Americans.
Right.
So, like, we're sitting one time, like, over in Peru or whatever, and everybody's talking about, like, the McDonald's All-American stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, nah, I didn't make that team. Like, I don't know what y'all talking about. I ain't getting none of that gear. And they was like, no way. Like, how are you? Blah, 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 blah. So, I remember that specifically. And I was like, yeah, nah, I never made that. So, like, I always tell people, like, one door closed, like, don't let that shatter everything. Like, it's just a speed bump. Right. You can work through adversity and stuff like that. So that happened, used all that, won 3 state championships, went to freshman. I wasn't starting at first, and then Christmas break came around, and, like, Don was like, all right, y'all, we haven't seen you before, like, we get to practice. And I had no idea what she was going to say. And she was basically saying, like, we're going to make a change. Ty's going to be starting. And I was like the first freshman she ever started in her coaching career or whatever. So it was kind of like a big deal. But like when she said that, I was like, oh, shoot. Like, what's about to happen?
Yeah.
And like the first practice after that, like, you know how coaches be like, just says the point guard, the starting point guard, they'd be like, Ty, get your team out here. Like, basically,
yeah,
starting five.
Yeah.
So he said that, and like one of my team was like, it's not her team, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, ah, hell, what did I get myself into? Like, I'm quiet. Like, my freshman year, I'm still just trying to pick out stuff, trying to work through things, and this is happening. So we like went through like a team boot camp. Like, we had like a 4-hour team session where we kind of just laid everything down, described everybody's talent, what we need them for, roles and stuff like that. And after that, we was rolling, because I'm pretty sure like we had one of the worst records before we got into the March Madness, and we ended up winning. So it was crazy how that all that even worked, because it was like a lot of craziness, a lot of adversity we had to go through to even get to that point of winning. And that happened, so it felt good.
That's crazy. But like, that's cool that Don and the coaching staff had that confidence in you, and the boldness to like just pull a move like that.
Yeah.
Address it as a team, and then it pays off. Then it's like, oh shit, that just builds a buy-in for the team even more, because for the next year, it's like, okay, all the returning players on that team are going to be like, Don, she knows what she's doing. Like, we're about to just follow her blindly, and she's going to get us there. So, I can't remember all the resume stuff, but you're, I think, first in assists in South Carolina, top 10 in assists in the SEC ever.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best, like, records. I think your winning percentage is, like, 84% over a four-year span. You lost, like, 17 games or something like that. This is not normal. This is not a normal experience. Right. Like, what are you now, as you transition to the WNBA, where obviously you're having success and you've been on good teams, but like, what is kind of your expectation after your senior year, which is a COVID year, going into the draft? Like, what type of feelings were you having? What kind of expectations do you have for yourself at that time? Like, kind of where's your head at during that time?
So, I mean, I feel like my career has been super interesting just because we started in the wobble and the COVID and how everything played out. Like, I didn't get to finish my senior year in college or, like, the March Madness. And we were ranked number one at that time.
Yeah,
so
you guys are going to win that for sure.
I felt like I was going to start with a national championship and end with a national championship. Yeah. But obviously that didn't happen. But so, like, draft day, I mean, going back to just USA, like, when we was talking about it my senior year, I was at USA with a bunch of other players from different colleges, and they was talking about mock drafts and stuff. And so I'm looking, and a mock draft has – this is before my senior year started, actually, too. A mock draft has me third round, second to last pick. So I'm like, whoa.
Not to cut you off, which is, like, you're going to get to training camp, like, week two. In the WNBA.
Honestly.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, maybe training camp day two.
That's
honestly
what it is.
Like, a wave. Yes. And then another mock draft didn't even have me on at all. So I'm just like, okay, here we go again. Another round. Yeah. You know, here this again. So my senior year go, and I'm like one foot in, one foot out, obviously, because I'm trying to enjoy my last year. But I'm also thinking about next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, my coach, Boyer, assistant coach, she was basically like, Ty, like, you're good. We got you. Just focus on the season. Enjoy your last year in college. Like, we have your back, basically. And that's another reason why I chose South Carolina, because Dawn and her coaches have connections. And so, basically, they were speaking to some of the WNBA coaches and, like, just asking for information here and there, just of, like, what they thought about me. And that made me feel better about the season and about what I was doing. So, fast forward, season get cut short or whatever, and draft day's up, and now I'm, like, top 10. So, I'm going first round top 10. So, that made me feel better. So, what ESPN did, they sent, like, a kit out to everybody that's, like, top 10, supposed to be top 10. And they made you, like, live stream it from wherever you was doing your little draft day party at, since everything was closed down. So, for me, it was kind of hard because it was, like, I didn't really know if I was going to be that person to be live stream. And then once they sent the kid an email and everything, I was like, okay, now I really got to dress up. And by this time, like, stores is closed, everything's closed. Like, it was like in the beginning of COVID stage, like everything's locked down. So I tried to order some stuff, but like it was delays on packaging and all that. So like nothing came in time. It was the day of the draft in the morning. I'm like, all right, I got to go to Target. Target's open. So me and my mom go to Target real quick. We find a quick outfit, put it on. Mind you, I put that shit on real quick in just a little amount of time.
Facts.
But facts. We had to do that, live streamed it. I had a couple of my family members there. It was a great day. But it was a wild day. It was a lot of emotions. It was kind of like my dream finally came true. I had to do a lot of interviewing over Zoom, like with teams beforehand. Mm-hmm. Just teams that were thinking about picking me up or whatnot. And then I got picked up 7th. So,
yep.
Yeah.
So, side note, we got to talk about the style. You know, I think you're one of the drippiest in the league for sure.
Nice little chill.
Yeah. I like the vibes. I see the tunnel picks. I like what I see. We'll come back to that soon, but I just wanted to throw that in there. I do like the style. I see you posting. I'm feeling
you
it.
You know, you're one of the top best dressed trainers out too. I told you this. You need to get on TikTok and make a get ready with me.
What's
best
crazy? This now people are gonna be looking at me crazy because they don't know. So I just got done training. So I have a workout tee on and shorts. So this is not a good advertisement for me.
Not today.
I'm in workout attire, but
yeah.
Ty, take her word for it. I really do this. You can
top 10
Instagram.
Not even top 10, top 2 and not 2.
Top 2, not 2. I'll take that. On my own podcast, I'll take that. But so you're drafted 7th. A lot of emotions. That's awesome. Obviously you're happy. Mm-hmm. But then you're also like, damn, I got to go play in this bubble.
Yeah.
You know, let's be honest, like it wasn't the best situation.
No.
I mean, I don't think any bubble is, but especially I was working with a couple other WNBA players at the time and I'm just like, what the fuck they got y'all out here doing?
You know, it was so much. I mean, like to even get into it, like we had so much testing. You had to test every day. You had to stay in like the IMG Academy, couldn't leave ever. Like, we had a delivery service was on 10. Like,
on 10.
Food charges was crazy.
Food charges, DoorDash, that's how DoorDash stays open.
They were going crazy on us.
Side note, we're going to have Steph on probably in a couple of weeks, but she got traded in the bubble. And I want to know the story behind that because that shit is unheard of. That's crazy.
Another thing, which is not too bad.
It's actually bad because you don't have to move. She just went down the hall.
Stay there. Literally, just change loops. Here you go. I can take this loop. Change color team. Still got the same house. Cool. We're good.
Got a new key card and you're
good. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like the bubble wasn't too bad for younger players, but maybe for older players that are already established and who already know like the ropes of traveling and doing your own thing and have families and stuff.
For sure.
I get that. But for me, the bubble was just like college to me. Like, literally, I had it. Like, I stayed in my little box. Like, where I stayed, went to practice, went to the game, came back. And I feel like, I mean, like college, you have your party days here and there. But like other than that, like once you're in the grind of the season, it's literally class, practice, tutoring, whatever you got, and then back to the crib. Facts. So that's what it like. It was cool for me because like I don't need too much. But for other people, I see what it is. But like to your point of getting traded, people rather pick up people who are already in the bubble, who don't have to go through all that testing.
Yep.
So, like, if you did get waived or dropped, it's like you have a good chance of getting picked up again. Yeah. That was a good thing about that.
Facts. So, you come out, you play 3 years in Dallas. Had a solid first 3 years.
Yeah.
But what are some – now, we're going to talk about overseas, too. We're going to talk about overseas, too.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about, like, initially just in the WNBA, what were, like, the changes that you had to make to your playing style – to be able to fit, right? We talk about the WNBA is what, 144 players? Mm-hmm. It's 12 roster spots, 12 teams. Like, a lot of quality players are getting cut.
If that.
So you have to figure out a way to stick. Like, how did you mold your game around like whatever role you were asked to play in Dallas specifically?
Yeah. So I knew coming in, like, there weren't really too many like purebred point guards.
Mm-hmm.
And like with Sue retiring not too long ago and just other stuff like that, I felt like that was my role coming into it. And I felt like my IQ of the game and just coming from Coach Staley, just having that championship standard, just the winning standard, and just from who she was as a point guard and like the knowledge she gave me, I felt like I was going to be pretty good at that. Like you said, there's only 144 spots, 12 roster spots, 12 teams, if that. I mean, some people already only have 11. We have 10. Right. So I feel like there's really only like 25 spots maybe every year at this point. Because you already got, you know, there's all-stars who are already going to make it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some people who already got a spot. You know, like there's really only 3 or 4 spots that really 4 teams might need, honestly. Truly.
That's true.
And that's honest.
Very true.
So, like, it's really not that many spots. It's not 144 spots at all. But, I mean, that just goes to show, like, how cutthroat this league is. And just finding your niche and your role and what you do best is probably, like, the best advice I can give to anybody. Because, like, everybody was the All-American. Everybody was that superstar coming out of college to get to this point. I mean, this is why this is the best league in the world. So,
talk that shit. I feel like it,
honestly though. So like you gotta find what you do best and that whatever role you need for that team specific and try to make perfect that, honestly. And if you can do that, I feel like you can have longevity in the league.
Yeah. So a couple of questions, follow up questions on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big proponent of, I think there should be an expansion. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I know how to. I'm not saying mm-hmm. I know the logistics. I don't give a shit. I'm a fan. Right. Figure it out.
Right.
4 teams. I think that you could safely put 4 to 6 teams in the WNBA with no drop-off in talent to the point where one of the expansion teams would be competitive to make the playoffs. Like, right. Like there's good players that are not in the league.
I agree. And that just goes back to like the cutthroat of the spots, because there's not 144 spots.
Right. Because
you already know some people are already making it.
Some people are locked in already.
And you still got vets and stuff like that. And now the money is playing into it. The cap salary is playing into it too. Like people are getting cut just because they don't got enough money to keep you on the team.
Yeah.
Or people are getting cut because like there's not enough spot. They got 6 vets and they got 5 other 4 years, and like they have experience over you, so it's like it's hard. And that's why like a lot of rookies coming out this year is like, oh, they should be on a team, but it's like y'all really don't know everything that goes into it. Who are you gonna take off?
Yeah.
Who are you gonna take off?
Yeah,
so it's kind of hard. But like I do agree, like if you add 3 or 4 teams, there's not gonna be a drop off, because I see plenty of people overseas, plenty of rookies coming up out of this league that can grow to be where we are now, you
100%.
Know? So, yeah,
that would be cool. Again, I don't know how the logistics work.
Yeah, I don't know either.
That's not my job. Somebody way smarter is in charge of that.
Right.
But I'm talking like, man, there. I'm telling you, there's so many good players. Like, so we'll talk a little bit about overseas, right?
Yeah.
And we'll kind of go back and forth between that. But tie overseas versus WNBA tie is different. It's different, right?
Way
because
different.
You're asked to go out there. And well, I mean, I'll let you tell it. Like, what is your role when these overseas teams are talking to you about signing you?
Yeah. So overseas, my role is literally go kill, like go get a bucket, like literally just go play and put the team on your back. Like last year, I averaged 40. We already talked this. I averaged 40 minutes. Like, it doesn't matter if I turn the ball over 3 times. Can't shoot no more, legs falling off, like you're playing type. You need to play. So overseas, Ty, it's more free, I guess. And it's not a bad thing. It's nothing, no knock on WBA, no knock on nothing. It's more so something that I need to work on.
Right.
Because mentally in a space when I'm overseas, I feel like I'm more freer to do my game and play my game and play how I know how to play. Compared to the WNBA, where it's like, okay, everybody's a superstar. Everybody can do this, and you just play your role and you're going to get your minutes, basically. Control what you can control. But yeah, that overseas mentality, Ty, is a dog.
It's crazy. I'm sorry to say, it's yeah, dog. But I like it because it is like two different players, which is actually mm-hmm. cool because mm-hmm. it shows that you can do both. If a WNBA yeah. team ever wanted to say like, hey, Ty, we need you to be our scoring threat or whatever, they yeah. know you're capable of that. Obviously, you are like a pure point guard, like a pure yeah. like floor general. Like, I don't care how much I score. I'm going to yeah. make the right basketball play every time. But it's cool to also see you do both.
Not to cut you off, but about the both thing and playing styles. But that's another thing of I think people don't really realize in the league too. Like, I feel like the league is kind of, depending on what team you're on, it's systematic. So like, I know a lot of good players, great players who can play playground basketball, but can't play in like a structurized,
yeah,
you know, fundamentally sound, this is what I want to run type of team. And can't say they can't, but I'm just saying, like, some people thrive in just playing free playground, go get a bucket, and some people thrive in a systematic. And that's a thing that I feel like I have both of. Like, I can go play playground overseas, that's my playground, and WNBA is more systematic, under structure. And some people don't realize, like, there's two different things about that and
100%.
What contributes into making a team in the WNBA.
For sure. And it's, yeah. I will say, I wanted to give you a shout out. I've been seeing a lot of threes going in this WNBA season. You dropping.
Well, I just texted my dad. I said, Dad, not me coming from 15% overseas 3-point shooter to a 30 or 40 something now. You're like, 40 something now.
You're like low 40s, high 30s, which right. is yeah, like, yeah, okay. Yeah. That means you're a shooter. You got the green light. Shit, 6 months ago, you couldn't get one to fall.
Texting you like, yo, J.O., I hit 2 threes today. It's a good day.
2 for 10.
Had 28 points, 0 threes.
Yo, this is crazy. We need the internet people out there to pull up the stats on Ty overseas. It was getting treacherous out there.
32 points, 1 3.
But like you said, you're playing 40 minutes. So like, yeah, yeah. Man, I'm tired. Like,
yeah,
I cannot exhausted. Shoot from 25 feet out. Like my legs are cooked. Not to mention,
couldn't even throw a ball in the ocean. Like 15%. 15%.
You're a professional basketball player doing that is crazy.
My coach was making jokes, like, just like cracking up. Like, oh, he just knew. Man. He'll be like, Ty, if you can make this three, like, we won't have practice today. Like, brick. Like, could not hit it to save my life.
You got him falling now. I love it. I love to see it. You were talking about just being a floor general and making the right basketball play and systems. Like, yeah. Me as a fan watching a game, I'm always interested, like, what are the main actions or the most important actions that make a WNBA offense like run? Like, what are you trying to get your scorers? What positions are you trying to get them in?
Yeah, so I feel like what is crazy now that I'm figuring out the league, honestly, I just feel like everybody's going to say that, oh, pick and roll. Honestly, I do think pick and roll game is a lot, coverages and stuff like that. But the game does not change. When somebody tells you that, each level, the game does not change at all. You run the same play.
100%.
You do the same drills. It's just quicker pace.
Way faster, yeah.
Quicker pace, more precise, just a quick reading. And I feel like that's the biggest thing because as I'm watching, like, Chelsea Gray, for example, last year in the finals, she's just getting to her spots.
Yeah.
It don't matter what play you call. Don't matter if you want to run an Iverson. Don't matter if you want to run a pick and roll, head tap, middle, whatever. She's getting to the elbow. If she has to back you down to get to it, she's just getting there, pulling up. And yeah. I'm like, that's a drill work right there. Like, I feel like that's what separates pros in like college and high school. Like, the shot making ability.
Oh, I totally agree. I was about to say,
like, that. I feel like, you know, like defense, like, yes, defense is a good thing, but at the end of the day, we're pros for a reason. Like, you're supposed to make shots even with great defense in your face, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So like, I feel like that's what's the separation of everything from like each level. So when you say like what sets and what plays, I mean, pick and roll, obviously, screening action, side pick and rolls, ISO work sometimes. Like, if you're that player, then you get like an ISO situation. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's more so like, know your role. Yeah. Are you a kick out? Are you spacer, driver? You do what you do best, basically. And so as I'm watching Chelsea Gray, like, she's just getting to her spots. Like, great defense, but she's still making shots because she does that in practice. She does that in workouts. Like, she doesn't care if their hand's in her face. Doesn't care if there's two people right there.
She reps that.
She reps that every day. So, like, that's some normal stuff. So, I'm thinking, like, last year my coach was like, just get to your spot. Do what you do best. And I think, like, that's the best advice because it's like, you do this. Like, if you know you rep this every day in workout, why can you not do it in the game?
Right.
You know? So I feel like that's the biggest key and aspect that I'm finding out now is honestly just like, oh, well, Ty, get to your spot and pull up.
Yep.
Because if you do that like you do it in workouts, I'm making 8 out of 10. But, like, now I'm thinking, like, oh, I'm in a game. It's special, like, a special situation. Now you, like, shooting 2 out of 10. Like, right. You know you're not going to get that many opportunities, but at the end of the day, it's the same jump shot. It's the same work you've been putting in, regardless if you at workout or in the game.
Yeah. So, like, we'll take overseas out of it because I know overseas, every spot on the floor is your spot. Yeah. But in the WNBA, what kind of spots are you trying to get to? Like, I like you coming off screens.
Mm-hmm.
I like
the same mid-range. Yeah. The mid-range game. I love that. I was a big mid-range in high school, set threes. But right now, this year is more so because the team I'm on, AT, she's like the floor general, the point guy, triple-doubles. Yeah. I'm getting that spray out, so, like, I'm focusing on the threes right now. But next year, I think I'm going to do more so, like, pick and roll, middle ball screen, shooting behind screens if they're still going under, and then I automatically pull up elbow. Chris Paul. Like, literally, Chris Paul. Don't matter how I get there. If I get there, I'm pulling up type.
I see it. I like it. That's I love the mid-range game. I mean, I think – that's like people say, yeah, it's funny because we were talking the other day. I forget who I was talking to. Anyway, we're saying, you know, coaches want to just have threes or layups, right?
Yeah.
Like layups or threes. But I'm like, shit, if you get to your spot and you shoot the mid range, that's like a layup for a pro.
Right.
Like,
right.
Kevin Durant shooting from the elbow is a layup. Like,
right.
I honestly say it'd probably be a higher percentage than a
DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, there's
crazy.
No contest.
Mid-range is
you know
crazy.
What I mean? Like, you go to the rim, okay, yeah, certain people need to finish at the rim. But you go to the rim, there's going to be somebody there waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the elbow, you're going to see, like, somebody's fingertips. That's it.
Right.
Like, you're shooting right over that. So I think a layup, you know, is just a shot. You know how they say it? It's like, these are layups. Like, we're shooting layups out here, so – it's going in. Doesn't matter if it's mid-range, three, whatever.
And everybody's not Steph Curry, okay? Like, a three is a layup for him. A layup is a three for him. Everybody don't have to be Steph Curry. Get to your spot. Like, if they right there on you, running off the three, I don't want to challenge you at the rim, boom, pull up. Like, it's hard. It's hard to contest because, like, are you going to the basket?
Right.
Now I got you going to the basket. Now I stop and I'm pulling up. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be able to stop on a dime if you want to do that.
Right.
I will say your defense looking solid too. You look almost a steal per game.
I'm bumping it up. Yeah, I'm bumping that up. Yeah, yep.
So let's talk about overseas real quick and just the dynamic of being basically playing basketball professionally year round, which isn't great for your body. I will just say that. Like, what? I mean, and I don't want to put you in a position where you feel like you have to complain or like talk about like all the bad stuff. But I do want to talk about like the grind. Like, what is it like where you're literally getting maybe a month off? And by off, I mean a month of where you have to also just work out and stay in shape because you got to go start a training camp. Like, what?
Right.
What is that like? That's grueling.
Yeah. I mean, you know some of it because I come in for maybe 2 days and then be like, all right, yep, got to go, Justin. Yeah. Like, got to go again.
Great off season. I saw you Monday and Tuesday. We got it in.
See you in 3 months. And I'll see you for another 3 days. Yeah. But, So, I mean, you got to love it, honestly. And I think that's kind of like the difference between playing in the league and not. I mean, you got to love what you do because we don't get the glitz and glam. Honestly, my college days was way better than WNBA. Like, I flew charter. I got catered food every time. Like, I was getting taken care of. You know, now it's like you're independent by yourself and we're flying commercial. So like, so it's not as good as the college days, but it is in a different aspect.
Yeah.
But what was I even getting to?
Just like the grind. We're just talking about
how
just wild it is.
You gotta love it because after, I feel like every year, depending how far you make it into the playoffs in the WNBA, is tells you your time when you gotta go overseas. True. So basically, if you play a full season of overseas, it's 7 to 8 months, depending on what country you go to. Some countries go 5 months. And then some people go, like, I might go the first half, I might go the second half, depending. But, like, those are mainly the all-stars who are going there, picking and choosing who have that luxury. But, like, other than that, you're going right after you get done with your WNBA season. I think you can negotiate, like, 2 weeks maybe, but most people get, like, 10 days. 10 days to, like, 2 weeks to report overseas. So after you get done with WNBA, wherever you are, I mean, you got to pack up all your stuff because you don't live there. You don't own an apartment. They buy it for you. So you pack up all your stuff. I usually send it to the crib at home. And then some of, like, the suitcases that I have already packed up, I just keep that same suitcase and just take it with me. Like, there's no reason to unpack and then pack it all up again. And so I just take all that. I usually have, like, I try to keep, like, 3 to 4 bags. My first year, I had, like, 4 to 5 bags. But, like, as I go on each year, I know I don't even need that.
Yeah.
You're not going nowhere. You're not seeing nobody for real. So, like, you could recycle clothes. Who cares? So, go over their report. Play about 7 to 8 months. Usually, they want the Americans, since they are paying you a lot of money and they, like, have this big expectation of you. You do play a lot of minutes. Like I said, I was playing 40 minutes every game. You hold majority of, like, everything, basically. You run everything. But the luxury of that is that they treat you so well over there because they do hold you to a high standard that it's good because you feel like a celebrity. Like, how we're supposed to be felt in America is how we are felt in overseas, basically.
Got you.
And, but mine, I feel like my story is a little different because a couple of the teams that I've been to wasn't, like, the greatest – organizations over there. So, like, I'll be saying I've been in the trenches. Like, I went over there during the COVID year, my first year in Turkey. It was COVID year, and so they had them on lockdown.
Yeah,
like from I want to say 4 to 6 a.m. Like everybody, like all the Turkish citizens had to be in the house. Like store was closing. Like all that stuff is going on. I'm just like stuff is locked down. I'm just like this is crazy. So all that happens. My next year, I go to Russia. The war happens. And then this past year, the earthquakes was happening, and my teammate, her situation. So it's just a lot of stuff that happens. And then, like, depending on what country you go to, sometimes you don't get Christmas break. Every country gets 2 breaks. It's the national team breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So you get about 10 days, but depending on how the schedule is, like, so. Say if we have a game, like, the day the national team break is over. Like, they expect you to be back, like, 4 days before then. So, it's, like, really, you get 6 days.
Right.
And then, mind you, travel is already crazy. Like, it takes, like, 26 hours to get back to the crib. So, it's, like, you got to calculate all that into
it.
It's
not even sometimes worth going.
I think only one year I got Christmas break, and I came home for Christmas at Russia. But my other years, I missed everything.
Yeah,
and then I got like 2 breaks for the national team break, and then
that is
came
wild.
Back for the WNBA season.
Every time you go overseas, like some wild,
it's
like,
something
like
happened.
COVID, obviously. I forgot about Russia. The something I'll never forget, which is why it's weird I forgot about it, is that like you told me about Brittany Griner and her situation like before it came out, because you guys were both in Russia coming home, and I was like, that's fucked. And then obviously became the situation that it was, but I was just like, whoa, right.
And it was crazy.
Earthquakes last year in Turkey. There's always some wild stuff going on overseas.
Like stuff you can't control. And like, it's like, it's not like I'm up the street from the house. Like you're thousands of miles away.
Another side of the earth. Like for real.
Like we're different languages, different culture. Like it's crazy to even think about it. Yeah. Sometimes.
What would you say is like one thing, this is going to sound, I don't want to get you in trouble. What would you say is one thing about overseas that makes you that you appreciate about playing overseas versus maybe like something that might be missing from the W? Yeah.
Like I said, how you are treated from like the fans and just like the staff and stuff like that, and then clearly money.
Hey,
it's, like, I feel like what I'm going through and what I'm the trenches, all that extra, I'm getting from my money, and now I'm saying like, all right, Ty, you could take this for it's another good. Month. Yeah. All right, Ty, you can do it for another month. Like that keeps me going.
That's
you
know? Great. I mean, people don't like to talk about that, but it's true. Yeah. Like money, I mean, you're trying to make money for your family.
Everybody knows because everybody knows. Here's the secret. America. Americans overseas. If that money don't go through, if that don't hit your bank account, oh, bliss. I'm not practicing.
No. Yeah.
Won't be at that game.
No.
I need my transfer wires to hit ASAP, right now in 2 hours.
To the bank ASAP.
2 hours now, please. Yeah.
So conversely, what's one thing about overseas that makes you super appreciate the W?
For me, because I'm like a homebody and I stay to myself and don't go too many places, is just having the luxury of eating what I want to eat. Mm-hmm. When I like eating familiar stuff, seeing familiar things,
I heard,
the routine of everything.
I heard one of your favorite restaurants, speaking of food, like I heard you're a huge fan of Hard Rock Cafe.
Heck, hell nah.
Why don't you explain that for us a little bit?
Justin, what? First off, we go there. There ain't nobody in the restaurant. Maybe one table. So I'm like, okay. Order food. Takes an hour to get out. Like, I ordered a drink. Nobody at the bar. Took 30 minutes to make. The drink was nasty. Food come out finally. I'm hungry. I'm smashing it. Get to the middle. I got fish, salmon. Get to the middle. I'm like, wait, why is this piece mushy? Open the salmon up. Not cooked. Raw. Raw. So the guy's like, oh, yeah, like, we usually serve, like, medium rare. Da-da-da. I said, sir, this is still swimming in the ocean. Like, this is not even – I can't eat that. Like, I cannot eat that. Take that back.
Oh, my
God. So, like, yeah, no, I won't go back. It's over with that.
So, yeah, just for a little, you know, insight, Ty's little sister, Talia, is currently my intern. So – I asked her this morning, like, I need some embarrassing stuff for Ty. And she told me about this horrible experience that you had at Hard Rock Cafe.
That was my first time. I'm thinking, like, it's about to be nice. Like, I've heard things about it here and there. No. No.
Oh, man. I wasn't even going to bring it up, but then you set me up for it.
It was my mom's fault. She wanted to go so bad. I'm like, all right, we can just go, like, after the game. Everybody can eat.
So did anybody enjoy their food? Or was it just bad across the table?
Bad across the table. Just bad across the table.
Oh, my gosh. So
I'm sorry.
I want to transition real quick into Under Armour. I made a joke earlier about my Under Armour commercial, but we did some cool stuff with Under Armour where they came out to the gym and, like, filmed us training and stuff like that. And I know SC is an Under Armour school. And now you have your deal with Under Armour. Like, what went into that? Were they following you through college and then kind of wanted you to be the face of the brand for the WNBA? Mm-hmm. Or like, what all goes into that?
Yeah, so for a while, Under Armour wasn't in the WNBA. Like, no women basketball player wore their shoe. Mm-hmm. And so when COVID hit, my agent was just talking about, oh, like, shoe deals and stuff like that. Deals with just other partnerships with businesses and stuff like that. And the WNBA is partnered with Nike. So if you don't sign to a shoe brand or whatever, you're supposed to just wear just Nike, whatever you get. You buy your own, whatever. And so he was saying, like, Nike is really going to only look for Sabrina since it was Kobe year because they don't really need people. So Sabrina was the number one pick, so they looked at Sabrina. But he is like, we were just talking about other shoes. He mentioned some shoe, like a Chinese shoe line. That he mentioned. I think it's the one that Kyrie was actually thinking about going
like
to.
Oh, like Anta or Anta, maybe?
Yeah, something like something over there about it. And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. And then he mentioned Under Armour. And so we got in contact with Under Armour, and finally when we got in contact with them, they was like, oh, we've been like looking for your agent this entire time. Like, we wanted to get in contact with you first. They were saying this is their first year that they're trying to get back into the W and have women sponsor their shoes and stuff like that and have a partnership. So it was kind of a no-brainer with me. Like you said, I wore Under Armour's 4 years in college. So it was something new. And then they were like just coming on scene. So I wanted to be kind of like the front runner woman for that. And it kind of seemed like the best idea at that time, and been with them since.
Yeah. I like their stuff. I like their stuff a lot. They've got high quality stuff, obviously in the fitness space. Like, that's one of the go-tos. Sure. And then now they're climbing the ranks in the basketball space too. What do you think, like, what's like next for you in Under Armour world? Like, you got anything you can tell us about that you're working on?
Right now, I think it'll be better since this season coming up on this off season, I have a little more time. Can't speak too much into it, but I'll have a little more time. So I get to do a lot more. I know my first year when I signed with them, I was in a commercial shoot and video shoots where there was in most of the storefronts and stuff like that. So that was neat. I think they was talking about doing that again. And then obviously another player exclusive shoot that I'm thinking about. So that'll be in the works. And then once my WNBA career starts off and kicks off for real, then maybe a signature shoe line.
That'd be sick. That'd be dope. What would you call it? Let's just hypothesize that happens. Like, what's your first shoe going to be called? The Pearls. They don't know about that.
They don't know about the middle name. That might be it, though.
The Pearls. Ooh, I need 10% on that, please.
All right, five.
Hey, real quick, before I let you out of here, I want to throw you through the fire round.
All right, bet.
Rapid fire, just some random questions about nonsense. You can go as in-depth as you want, or you can go one-word answers, whatever you want.
All right,
first one. Do you believe in aliens?
I believe there's something else out there, but I don't know if I want to call them aliens.
Yeah, something for sure is out there.
Something.
What's your favorite movie of all time?
Ooh. Do I want to be a basic person or do I want to be something?
No, you about to say love and basketball.
I'm not going to say that, right? I ain't going to say the basic normal answer. I have a lot of favorite movies. I like Blue Streak. I like Sandlot. Ooh. I like all the Fridays. I like... Yeah, we could leave it there. I ain't got to say too much. Yeah.
Blue Streak, Sandlot. Ones. Those are
Fridays,
classics. All the Fridays, love that. Mm-hmm. All right, what's your most embarrassing basketball story?
Most embarrassing. See, I don't even try to put myself in that situation. Okay, I can say it now. All right, this recently happened. I played against Dallas against Enrique. Coming off a screen. I slipped on my foot, but as soon as I fell, she crossed back over. And if you see the video, it does look like she broke me off something so bad. But, you know, I know what really happened, but the whole video went out there. She posted it and stuff like that. So
how did that feel?
I just got to take the L.
Coming from a former teammate, like, what was that? Did she text you after the game? Like, yo.
She did. And she texted me before she posted. She's like, I'm sorry I got to do this to you. I wish it was somebody else, but we laughed about it. I said, you know good at why I fell on my foot. She was like, I'm already knowing. But it looks like she crossed me, so I just got to take the L.
All good.
I just have to take it. Good. Yeah.
Well, you ain't the only one when it comes to her. She's one of them ones.
She's
for
nasty,
sure.
Yeah.
What inspires you?
My family.
If you could eat one food for the rest of your life with no impact on your health, what would it be?
Seafood boil.
Oh, hell yeah. That's a great answer. That's actually not a bad answer. I
can
that.
Pick through whatever one, change the bag up.
I mean, really, you get good protein, vegetables, you know, like it's veggies in there. That's not the worst I've heard. That's solid. Oh, I like this one. If you were not a hooper, what would you be doing right now for a living?
I would say track, but track is the only sport that really makes me nervous. Like, I get so nervous in track, but I feel like it's because I know, like, that I can lose by this much. It's not even like, it's either close or you get smoked. So
you can genuinely think you won a race for like 2 minutes until you find out you didn't win.
For a fact, yeah.
But so you're saying you'll be an athlete for sure. You'll just be a track athlete instead.
For sure, yeah.
I like that.
I love track. Yeah, I ran track in high school.
All right, this is crucial, critical, top secret information. Mm-hmm. What temperature do you have your thermostat set at? Oh, my God. Are we going to think differently about you after this?
70.
Okay, that's not horrible. That's not horrible.
But I feel like I'm anemic. Like, I get so cold. Everybody's 70. Like, oh, 68, 67, 60. I can't go into the 60s. If really perfect world, I'll say 72.
Yeah. Oh, see, now you lost me. You lost me on that. 70 is an acceptable answer.
It's mid, right? It's mid.
70
it's
is mid. An acceptable answer. I'm a 70 family because well, I'm a 68 guy. But
that's too cold.
But the way my house is set up, it's like different in certain areas. Mm-hmm. And it's like we've just found that 70 keeps it like the most consistent.
But all the areas.
But perfect. Yeah, 70's cool. 72, I don't know.
I blame my family, though, because that air conditioning does not come on. If it doesn't have to come on, it's not coming on. My dad said, you better open up a window.
Put the box fan in the window.
Man.
All right. So if we talk about you pregame, like what's on your pregame playlist, you can go artist or a specific song.
Okay. Depending how I feel and like what time of day the game is, sometimes I like to go chill. So I play like R&B or slow, just relaxing songs. And then if I want to, you know, turn up, you got a little baby, Gunna.
Yeah.
Young Thug, the usuals.
Is there like one song that just gets you too hype? Like you just listen to it and it's go time.
Overseas, it was the Drake album. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
With the girl's
face on it?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm drawing a blank on that.
What is it?
Her loss.
Yeah.
Her loss. That was tough.
Yeah.
All right. Who's your Mount Rushmore of women's basketball players?
Ooh. How many is it? Four or five?
Four.
Well, I got to put Dawn. Got to put Dawn up there.
For sure.
Lisa. Maya. One left.
So many names to choose from.
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy.
I picked older ones, so I'll go to more recent ones. I got to go half and half, Asia or Stewie.
Yeah. Asia is, she's
53?
Yeah, she's crazy.
Come on now.
She might go down as the best ever. She could.
Come on now.
She's doing crazy.
And Stewie, Stewie's all I want to.
That's tough. Mm-hmm. The only one that I would put, this is tough. This always gets messed up because there was no WNBA when she played. Cheryl Miller was going crazy. Scored 100 in high school.
Yeah.
What used to terrorize Reggie Miller, who turned out to be like one of the best, 100 players in the league history. She's up there for sure. But it's hard because, like, there was no.
There's so many. Cynthia Cooper, Tarika Weatherspoon, all of them.
That's wild. All right, last one here. When you got to the W, who was the first person to just bust your ass? Like, what was your welcome to the WNBA moment?
Luckily, honestly, I didn't get too many, like, just somebody busting my ass for real. Because, one, I felt like the best person to bust my ass was Arika, and I was on her team for three years. You know what I mean? So, like, that was cool. But the first one to welcome me is DT, Diana Taurasi. She hit me so good on one of these screens she was trying to post up.
Oh, she's
luckily
a,
she got the foul. Yeah. But boy.
And you caught her at the end of her career too.
Yes, thank God.
She was trying. She was like doing the little things so well,
right?
Like screens and shit like that. That
Oh my God, that can get hit. Like that can go hidden for real. Yeah.
All right, that's a good one. Last one. This isn't really a question, but just anything you want to plug, anything you want to, you know, share with the people. Where can we find you? Anything you got coming up? Just this is your time. It's your elevator pitch right here.
Well, y'all can follow me on Instagram, ByHer_Fig2. I think my Twitter is TyHarris_Fig2, something like that, somewhere around there. Make sure y'all get your Under Armour merch. Make sure y'all go train with my boy J.O. Hey. The best trainer out, the drippiest trainer out. Yeah. We're going to have some fun this off season, though.
I can't
wait.
Talk.
I got to text you on God. Yeah.
I can't wait to see you.
No, for real. Like, this will be our first time ever, for real, having, like.
Like a full off season.
Yeah.
I can't
wait. I want to take some, like, before pictures and some after pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
On some real.
We coming for some hardware next year.
Yeah.
We coming for some hardware next year. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yep. And that was another episode of the Gym Sessions podcast with special guest TyHarris. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you're new here, make sure you like, subscribe, share this episode. I encourage you to go back to previous seasons and previous episodes and check out some of our previous work. If you are a continual supporter, thank you so much for tuning in. Could not make this show what it is without you guys. Make sure you share this with a friend, like it, subscribe if you're not already subscribed, and we will see you guys next week for another great interview and great episode.